Amen. Bless the Lord. By a show of hands, how many here did not know Leaning on the Everlasting Arms of Jesus? Raise your hand if you did not know that song. Yeah, you're too afraid to raise your hand. That is a great song. If you do not know the hymns of the Lord, you can go on YouTube, you can Google it, and you will be blessed and enriched in your life. That was great. Well, let's pray for the word tonight. Lord, we thank you so much. What an honor it is to look to your word, to be stirred and to be changed by your word. And God, we are here to honor you tonight. We lift up the name of Jesus in our worship and now in the word. And I pray tonight that every heart would be softened, that every ear would hear what you would want to speak to us, Lord. If there are any who are far from you tonight, that you would draw them tonight by your Holy Spirit back into the beautiful presence of you tonight. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, our title tonight is An Anchor for Our Soul. An anchor is a device that is attached to a ship by a strong cable for the purpose of keeping the ship or the boat stationed in one area. How many know that's a good thing during a storm, especially? It is something that serves to hold an object in place firmly. In my backyard at my house, we have one of those play centers from Costco. It has a slide and the treehouse and a couple of swings. And when we installed that playhouse, well, not me personally, when my husband installed it and my father-in-law installed it, they attached a few anchors to the mainframe so that when our kids were swinging on it, the whole thing doesn't fall over. And we know it's a good thing, anchors in our lives, anchors on things, they keep us safe and secure. Hebrews chapter 6 speaks about the kind of anchor that we are to fasten our lives to. And at the end of chapter 5, we are given a warning against falling away from our relationship with Christ and the teachings of him. And the warning in these verses is that we don't grow apathetic towards growing deeper in our knowledge of Jesus and the gospel of Christ. Chapter 5, verses 11 to 14 says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Jesus is admonishing us to be mature in our lives, to train ourselves in the constant use of his word, that we would be able to clearly distinguish good from evil. And chapter 6 continues with an encouragement to move beyond merely laying the foundations time and time again, but to move to a place where we are now building upon those foundations, growing deeper in our relationship with Christ. In verses 11 to 12 of chapter 6, says, "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Are you thankful tonight that Jesus has prepared a way for us to have eternal life with him? This is a big deal in our lives. Jesus constantly urges us to set our hope, to walk in such a way that we are eternity-minded and not earthly-minded in our lives. We are urged to remain attached and secure to him, that it would stir us towards a deeper holiness in our lives. It is a big theme in the Bible, that in the light of the sacrifice of Jesus, in light of his eternal promise, that we would walk so closely to the edge of heaven with a spirit of holiness upon our entire beings, that we would never detach our lives from his hope and his truth. We live with a great battle that wages war against our souls, against our hearts, against our lives, against our homes, against his church. It is a battle that seeks to distract us, tempt us, deceive us, cause us to live for the empty promises of this world instead of for the hope that we have in Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6, it tells us to not remain where we are when we first believed, but we must grow and mature in our faith. We must form a deeper connection in our lives to the Word of God, to His holiness, and to attain to this in our life. Well, our main passage tonight, if you have your Bibles, is found further on in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. The Voice translation reads, "That hope is real and true, an anchor to steady our restless souls, a hope that leads us back behind the curtain to where God is." God uses this imagery of an anchor to describe how we live in this world in the same manner as that of a ship at sea. The waves in an ocean, they toss these ships up and down, back and forth. And there are waves of turbulence in our lives that are seeking to toss our souls around, up and down, back and forth. If a ship finds itself in the middle of the sea and a storm comes and it is not anchored, it is in danger of being cast away, of becoming shipwrecked and destroyed. Verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. And God speaks to the importance of our souls throughout Scripture. And the word soul in this verse, it comes from the Greek word psuche, which means the breath of life, the mind, the seat of the feelings, desires, affections, the very heart and soul of a living being. Our soul in this verse is all of us. It is our entire being, our very breath. And there are heavy storms. There are heavy winds and waves that threaten our vessels, our souls. They are temptations and persecutions and afflictions. And God urges us that we are in need of an anchor to keep us sure and steady in Him, or else we are in constant danger of being swept away, of being destroyed. The hope of Jesus Christ and His promises, they are our firm and steady anchor. And as we navigate through the stormy passages of this world, our hope in Him is our anchor that keeps us firm and steadfast against these temptations and difficult trials. God is wanting us to be sure and steadfast and secure in our hope, that there be no doubts, that there be no unsettledness when the storm comes against us. Prior to this, in verses 17 to 18, he says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. And God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Have you fled tonight the temptations? We who have fled, we who have said no to the lies of the enemy, who have fled our fear and unbelief in order that we might take hold of these eternal promises, in order that we might take hold of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. God swears on oath. He doesn't just promise this, but then he adds to his promise and he confirms it with an oath. It is a double security. It is a double promise in our lives. The world we walk in, it is like a sea, isn't it? It is restless. It is always changing. It is unstable. It is even dangerous at times. And we as the vessels, as the ships, we are subject to its changes and its unstable movements. The currents will come, and they will seek to carry you away from the foundations of Christ in your life. And his plan is to cause us to be secure in these currents. He will not let us be carried away by every wind and every wave of doctrine that comes our way if we are trusting in him. A vessel needs to be anchored to keep it from being swept away by the storm, to keep it from being destroyed. And God is telling us to be anchored to his truths, to avoid becoming cast away when the storm crashes over us. He urges us to set our hope in him, to have exceeding faith in his promise, May we anchor our souls tonight. May we anchor the very breath of our beings, our entire lives tonight, to the hope that Jesus has purchased for us. If you study the craft of anchor making, which I did just a little bit, it is very important work. And one such article describes it this way. It says, the anchor smith has a very responsible business. For if he makes his anchor badly or of weak material, woe to the shipmaster when the storm comes. Anchors are not made of cast iron, nor of every kind of metal that comes to hand, but they are made of worked iron, strongly welded, and of tough, compact material, which will bear all the strain that is likely to come upon it at the worst of times. The strength and the design of our anchor is crucial. Our safety and our very life depend upon it. God places such a high priority upon our faith and our hope that he likens it to an anchor, to a powerful, strong, secure piece of metal that is purposed to keep our lives safe and secure. You see, God knows how strong the currents of temptation are going to be. He knows how strong the currents of the trials are going to be in our lives. He knows how fierce the winds of our emotions can easily carry us away on the sea of this world. He knows how the reins of Satan's lies and distractions, they come upon our minds. And so he promises, and he swears by oath regarding this promise for our eternity, that we can have faith and we can trust in him during the storms. How is your anchor of hope tonight? Three areas I want to encourage us with quickly related to our anchor. Number one tonight is lower the anchor. In order for an anchor to be effective, it must be lowered into the waters. Our anchor is our hope. And when the storms come, we need to lower our anchor of hope through the churning waves of difficulty in our lives until it rests on the solid rock that is at the bottom, which is Jesus Christ. And we have to trust in the strength of this anchor, our anchor of the hope of Jesus. It is promised to have the ability to be lowered into these deep waters, to be lowered into these difficult waters, to be lowered into these churning waters. It has a significant weight and strength to it. When we are lowering our anchor of hope, we need to trust that it will keep us secure in the storm. James 1, 5-7, out of the Voice. If you don't have all the wisdom needed for this journey, then all you have to do is ask God for it, and God will grant all that you need. He gives lavishly and never scolds you for asking. The key is that your request be anchored by your single-minded commitment to God. Those who depend only on their own judgment are like those lost on the seas, carried away by any wave or picked up by any wind. Those adrift on their own wisdom should not assume the Lord will rescue them or bring them anything. We have a promise in this tonight, church. This is an encouragement. This is a warning. This is an admonishment to us that a single-minded commitment to God, a trust in him and his anchor for our lives, is required to weather the storms. Number two, secure the anchor. After we've lowered the anchor, we have to secure the anchor. An anchor is attached or secured to the ship with a strong cable. And this cable ensures that the anchor will not become detached from the ship. It secures the connection between the two. There needs to be a connection, a strong cable between our anchor of hope and our souls, our entire lives. And this connection, this securing, is shown to us in verses 11 to 12. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We will inherit what has been promised when we secure our anchor, when we show the same diligence to the very end by imitating those who through faith and patience inherited what has been promised. The word patience in this scripture, it means long-suffering. It means endurance, perseverance, slowness in avenging wrongs. This is not my interpretation. This is what the Lord intended for this word patience in our lives. The connection that secures our soul, our lives to our anchor of hope is faith and patience. And because when the storm rages, it rages above the waters and below the waters, the strength of our anchor, the strength of our connection will be tested. The strength of our faith will be tested. The strength of our patience and endurance will be tested. As the waters are turning, as the waves are crashing, this rope is going to start moving. This connection is going to start moving. The pressures and the stress are going to come upon it. And so your faith and your patience are going to be tested, and they need to be secured steadfastly. They need to be secured so tightly that it will not break your connection to your hope in Jesus Christ for your life. In the storm, as the waves roar, we will feel this pressure and this stress upon our faith and our patience. And when the storms come, if our deep faith and endurance, if our faith and our and endurance is deep, this will keep our hearts and soul connected to our hope in Jesus. Faith and patience are both required in the storm. You can choose to either trust in your faith and patience, or you can trust in your ship. You can trust in your ship that you can weather the storm on your own and hope that you don't end up wrecked on the rocks. I don't know about you, but I don't want to take that chance in my life. During the storm, we need patience, don't we? We need endurance to rest in God. We need patience to rest in our faith that our anchor is going to keep us secure in the midst of these waves, in the midst of the storm. Faith and patience is what caused the saints to inherit what had been promised to them. Verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, and it is firm and secure. And how many know that the anchor is only as strong or effective as your method of attachment? Our anchor of hope, it will be firm, and it will be secure in the storms when we connect it to our faith and our patience. Psalm 37, verse 7, out of the Voice, it says, be still, be patient. Expect the eternal to arrive and set things right. Don't get upset when you see the worldly ones rising up the ladder. Don't be bothered by those who are anchored in wicked ways. You know, people who live their lives in a worldly manner, they have no godly destination or godly purpose in their life. Those who are anchored in wicked ways, they are content to give themselves over to the storm. They're content to be tossed to and fro. They're content to just let the waves blow them wherever it may lead them. Unbelief tonight will not secure your anchor. Fear will not secure your anchor. Anxiety and worry, it will not secure your anchor. Ephesians 4, verses 13 to 14, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. There is only one way to secure our anchor, church, and that is our faith in the Word of God and our patience and our endurance and our long-suffering as He works within us and He steers us. We must move beyond the elementary teachings. We must allow our faith and our knowledge to go deeper so that it can secure our lives. Amen? Amen. Number three, the final thing tonight is cast the anchor upon the rock. Hebrews 6, 19 to 20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. When we lower our anchor of hope into God's ways and we secure our anchor with faith and patience, it lands upon the rock of Jesus Christ and it is not moved. It keeps us firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. Jesus Christ absolutely is the only one that we ought to be lowering our anchor upon. He is the very ground of our hope. And it says that he has entered within the veil. And what is he doing within this veil? He is interceding with God on our behalf that we would persevere in this life and that we would inherit his eternal promises. Our hope, it fastens upon his sacrifice. Our hope fastens upon his intercessions. It takes a good hold of him beyond the veil. It is as an anchor that is cast upon the rock of ages. There's a song that we could sing. And in closing tonight, Luke chapter 6, verse 48 out of the Voice. If you do that, you'll be like the man who wanted to build a sturdy house. He dug down deep and anchored his foundation to solid rock. And during a violent storm, the floodwaters slammed against the house, but they could not shake it because of solid craftsmanship. It was built upon rock. You see, the grip upon our anchor, it is significant in our lives. The anchor itself can be strong, but we need to lay a hold of it with a firm grip. And as we know, the anchor, it is connected to the ship by a strong cable. And, you know, chain cables have become common to reduce the risk of breaking the cable and severing the connection of the anchor from the ship. There needs to be a strong hold in our lives, a strong connection between our soul, between our entire being to our anchor of hope. A connection that can never be severed. A connection that no matter what happens in our lives, that it can never be broken. That our hope will never leave us. That we will never turn from Jesus, but that he will always be our anchor. We are admonished through the Word of God to connect our lives to Jesus with our faith in his promises and truths. Our grip on our anchor must be our faith in his Word. Needs to be our faith that no matter how strong the storm is in our life, we know that he will keep us firm and strong and safe and secure in him. Don't let anything sever your connection tonight, church. Don't let any storm or any wind or any currents of this world separate you from the truth and the power of Jesus Christ that can be alive within you. Make sure you have a firm hold of your anchor. You know, the disciples were in the boat with Jesus. And the storm began to rage, and great fear began to overwhelm these men. And they began to cry out to Jesus, who was asleep at the time. And Jesus wakes up, and he stands up in that boat, and he begins to rebuke the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him. And these men, they looked at each other, and they said, "Who can this man be that even the winds and the waves obey his command?" That is the God that we serve tonight. He speaks to the winds in our lives, and he speaks to the waves in our lives, and he rebukes them, and he causes our lives to become sure and to become steadfast in him again. This is the God that we serve. Anchor yourself tonight in a deep way that your soul truly can cry out to the Lord, that your soul tonight can actually and literally say, "It doesn't matter how fierce the winds and the waves are. Jesus, I will never let go of you. You will always be my hope. I will rise. I will stand firm as the waters roar and they rage all around me because of my hope in Jesus. Let the storms crash over me tonight. Let them crash over me because I am anchored with a deep, immovable faith. I am anchored with an unmovable patience and endurance in my life. Let the waters rise. Let the rain of the enemy come. It doesn't matter because the winds and the waves obey the commands of my Father in the name of Jesus." And that is his call upon us. Jesus. May our souls be attached to our hope in Jesus Christ in such a way that in the darkest of storms, we can always echo these words, "It is well with my soul." As we end tonight, I want to encourage us with the words of this hymn that has stirred the hearts of many who have found themselves in the storm. Why don't you close your eyes tonight and just allow the Lord to speak to you about where you're at. But it says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, not in parts but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. But, Lord, 'tis for thee. For thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Amen. Would you stand? Stand tonight. How is the anchor of your soul tonight? In the darkest storms, and in the calmest of seas in our lives, may we be those whose souls belong to the Lord. May we be those who live to bless the Lord with all of our souls. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship him tonight. Let's take a few moments and bless him before we leave. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If you need prayer for anything, the altars are always open. If you are in this place and you find yourself maybe further away from Jesus than you would like to be, we encourage you to come so we can pray with you. We want to believe with you tonight that God would move in your life, whatever the need is tonight. Let's bless the Lord with our souls tonight.